All right, I asked your attention this morning to the Old Testament book of Esther, chapter number 4. The book of Esther, chapter number 4. Verse number 14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Lord, we thank you today that we have the opportunity that we can come and assemble, that we can worship in freedom and liberty. We thank you this morning, Lord, that we can come to you and petition to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. We know of a surety today, Lord, that you hear our petitions when we pray in his name. And this day we pray, Lord, that your word might speak to our hearts, your spirit might penetrate into the deepest recesses of our soul. And Father, today that we might find in our own hearts what great purpose you have for us. For all that's said and all that's done, may Jesus be lifted up and glorified. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen and amen. We find here in the book of Esther, a very great question was asked of Queen Esther. A great declaration was made by her uncle Mordecai. I remember watching a movie several years ago, and one man said that some people were born in the wrong century, and some people were born on the wrong continent. But this morning I think that we sometimes think we wish maybe we could have lived in a different time. But as we come to our text in the book of Esther this morning, and Esther is one of the two books in the Bible that does not contain the word God. Very unusual, but it does not contain the word God in the entire book of Esther. The Song of Solomon is the other book today that does not contain the word God. Now, Esther was the queen this morning, but she had arrived at this position because the king this morning had called his queen, Vashti, to come and parade her beauty before a bunch of his cronies, and she had refused. Therefore, he sought a new queen and had a great beauty pageant held. And Esther was a very beautiful Jewish lady. And she became betrothed to the king, and became the queen this morning. Her uncle who raised her was a very devout Jew, a man by the name of Mordecai. Mordecai was very devout, very orthodox. Another man in the story today is a man by the name of Haman. Haman hated Mordecai and was doing everything that he could to destroy him. And one of those things that he did, he had the king write a decree that all the Jews would be put to death. All the Jews in the kingdom would be eliminated. And we find today that Mordecai has come to Esther with this news and said, you need to talk to the king. You need to be able to go in and find deliverance for your people. And Esther told him, well, unless the king holds out the golden scepter, no one can go into him without his permission. And if I go into him without his permission, it means certain death. And Mordecai makes a statement here in our text this morning, and he says that who knows but that God has put you in the kingdom for such a time as this. You know, today the Lord looks out over us, and I think today we need to realize a few things that we find in this text today. First thing we need to realize today is God is sovereign. We serve a sovereign God. A God today that is above all others today. A God today that never has to take orders from anyone else. Many times I find that in our society today, people think that God can be ordered around. But God cannot be ordered around. He is the sovereign God of glory. He is the only sovereign this morning. And we're not on an uncharted course in this world. We're not driving a rudderless boat. We're not driving this morning a car without a road map. We're not on a journey today without a destination. When you were born into this world, you set out on a journey of life. Sometimes that life is short, and sometimes it's lengthy. But it has a destination at the end of your life. And God is sovereign in our lives today. The psalmist in the book of Psalms, chapter 31 and verse number 15, says, "My times are in your hands." My times are in your hands. This morning, David acknowledged a great fact and a great simple truth today that would behoove us all to come to grips with this morning, and that is our times are in the hand of God. Our times are in the hand of God. Our lives are in the hand of God. Now think about that. Now they're good hands and they're wonderful hands today, but that's where our lives are. We don't really control our own destiny. We control our destination by the choices that we make concerning Jesus Christ. But our life is in the hand of God. Now think about that. And Mordecai said to Esther, "Hey, God, you've been put in the kingdom. You've achieved this position. And who knows if it were such a time as this?" Our times are in the hand of God. Our lives are in the hand of God. If there's one great fact I could impress upon every individual in the entire world today, it would be this: your life and your times are in God's hands. And there's not one thing that you or I can do about it today. And He places us where we need to be. He puts us where He wants us to be and where we need to be. Right now, at this moment of time, November the 30th, 2014, right here at Rocky Springs Baptist Church, God has placed us where He wants us to be. Amen. That's what Mordecai was saying here to Esther. The Lord has placed you in this position. It was not of your own doing. It was not today of just simply because you have great beauty and intelligence. It was not because of something that you did. But God, who could look into the future, God who knew everything that's going to happen, has now placed you in this position. He's put you where He wanted you to be. And when He puts you in this position, understand it's for such a time as this. Your people are going to be eliminated. And so this morning we need to come to grips with this. I have to come to grips with it, and you have to come to grips with it. Me. When we look in the mirror, it's me. And we have to realize that God has placed me in the place that He's placed me. You have to realize God has placed you in the place He's placed you. And this morning, God is sovereign. That's His responsibility. God has a purpose for us. God has a purpose for me. And He places us in places today for a purpose. We can look around the world today and we can see things that are happening all around us. Sometimes I see sickness. I see people who have terrible sicknesses and diseases. And sometimes I ask the question, why? 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 Why does God allow these sicknesses and these diseases to come into people's bodies? Why does He allow them to be ravaged by pain and suffering this morning? I see it all around us. I see young people. I see middle-aged people. I see older people. And sometimes things happen in our lives and the sickness comes. And we wonder why. Why? Why? Why has God allowed this to happen? But in it all and through it this morning, God has a purpose. God has a purpose. He has a purpose for me and He has a purpose for you. And God uses those things in our lives for His purpose today. Joseph, one of the great men of the Bible, we find that Joseph and Daniel are probably the only two men in the entire scripture where we find no known sin and corruption. I know that they had sin in their life because they were humans this morning. And only Jesus is completely without sin. But we find no condemnation in the scripture of Joseph and Daniel. And we find that Joseph was taken by his brothers and sold into slavery in the land of Egypt. Joseph, there in the land of Egypt, became the steward and the chief steward in Potiphar's house and refused to commit immorality with Potiphar's wife and was accused of rape and placed into prison. In prison, he was forgotten for a long period of time. And one time, one day, he was brought before the Pharaoh, and Pharaoh had a dream, and Joseph interpreted that dream and saved the kingdom. It came a time when his brothers had to come and get corn from the land of Egypt, and when Joseph revealed himself to them, they were afraid. And he said, "Don't be afraid. Don't get nervous and don't get scared. I'm not going to do anything to you." He said, "My life has a purpose. You intended all of this for evil. And you thought all of this was going to destroy me. But God intended it for good." You see, sometimes we need to be like Joseph and see all the things that happen to us and say, "Hey, the devil, the world, everything intended it to go against us, but God used it for good this morning." You see, Joseph was placed exactly where he needed to be that he might save the Jewish people in their time of famine. Sometimes I see all of these things happening and I realize that somehow, some way, God reaches out in those times and uses it for good and for His purpose and His glory. And He uses it many times for the salvation of souls and for the comfort of saints today. I see sorrow. I see people undergo great sorrow in their lives and say, why? Someone says sometimes we never should question God. Well, sometimes I've questioned God. I'm not going to lie to you this morning. And I say, why, Lord? Why? I don't know that I always get an exact answer. I don't know that I always receive a detailed report. But the one thing that I can always remember that God told me a long time ago, when my dad died, a time of great sorrow in my life, and I stayed at the funeral home after everyone else left, and the Lord and I had a great conversation. And I was wondering why. Why, Lord? And the Lord said, son, have I ever made a mistake? And I said, no, sir. He said, well, why do you think I made one this time? Through the years, I've held on to that fact that God doesn't make mistakes. And when I go through times of great sorrow, and I see others go through times of great sorrow, I still say, why? But I know the Lord doesn't make mistakes. And He uses it so many times for His own purpose this morning. When David's son of Solomon was killed by Joab in the rebellion, and David began to cry for Absalom. Yet as we read the story of King David, God used it for a purpose in King David's life to draw him closer to God and make him a better king and a better servant for the Lord. You know, God can use great sorrow in our lives and times of sorrow to draw us closer to Him, to give us comfort in our time. I see tragedy taking place all around our world. And I say, why? Why? Why do people burn businesses in Missouri? Why do people take guns to school and kill innocent children? Why this morning do we see all of the tragedy that's occurring around our world? And I sometimes say, why, Lord? But God will still use that for His purpose today. Problems. We see so many things. But God wants to use us. God wants to use us in the kingdom. And you know, He wants to use us right now. Right now. God wants us to do what He needs us to do right now. He wants me to do what I need to do. He wants you to do what you need to do. Sometimes we look at others and we think, hey, why don't they do something? I think sometimes it's like the little fellow was walking up the road. He come past this big old guy laying on the porch of a wooden cabin. An old, big old guy was laid out. I'm talking about this humongous guy. And the little fellow looked up at him and he said, boy, if I was big as you, I'd go out in the woods and find me a big bear and fight it. Big old fellow looked out at him and he said, "Bunch of little bears in the woods." We want to look at somebody else, don't we, sometimes? That's what Peter did. He said, "Well, Lord said, I want you to feed my sheep, Peter. Feed my lambs." He said, "This is going to happen to you in your life." And Peter said, "Well, what about John? What about John? Well, what about him? What about her? What about that?" Jesus said, "Hey, Peter, don't worry about John. You don't have to. That's not your. That's not what you're supposed to worry about, Peter. You worry about Peter. Peter, you do what I want you to do. And John will do what. John needs to do what I want him to do." This morning, sometimes we worry about what somebody else is going to do, and we take a perspective on other things today. But God today is saying, "Hey, I put you in the kingdom. I put you right there for such a time as this." A good time to live. When? Right now. A good time to serve God. When? Right now. Esther made a decision. Then Esther bade them to return Mordecai this answer. This is her decision. Sometimes we have to make a decision. "Go gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." First of all, we have to have a prayerful heart. See, Esther said, "Hey, we're going to fast. We're going to pray for 3 days and 3 nights. I know this needs to be done, and I'm willing to do it. But I want you to pray." You know, sometimes we just need to pray. And we look around and say, "What can we do?" Well, number one, I can tell you something that everybody here can do this morning without one shadow of doubt, and that is pray. Right. I'm not talking about a "now lay me down to sleep" type of prayer. I'm talking about an earnest, fretful, fervent prayer. The Bible says that the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. She said, "I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray." And you do likewise. This morning we need a prayerful heart. We need to spend more time in prayer unto God. We need to be seeking not just his hand, but we need to be seeking his face. Too often times we look for God to reach out and give to us and bless us. And I'm glad that he does today. Amen. But you know, sometimes we need to seek his face. I heard a gentleman on television there the other evening, and he was talking about when he first arrived in Nashville. For a long time he was unemployed and doing odd jobs, and many times he said he had to sleep in his car, and he would call home and his daddy would get on the phone and he'd say, "How's things going?" He'd say, "Fine, and let me talk to Mama." His mama would come on the phone and say, "What do you need?" And I thought back, you know, how many times has that happened? I can always tell when my kids call when they want something. You can just tell by the tone of their voice. But you know the best thing is when they call us to say, Daddy, I love you. Not that you don't want to bless them. Probably want to bless them more than you did the other time. Amen. But when they're seeking, I thought, how many times do we go to God? God, we need this. God, we want this. God, help us with this. Instead of just going to God and seeking His face and saying, Lord, we love you. We want to serve you. We want to do what you want us to do. God, lead us and guide us and direct us. That's what we need, Lord. We just love you and want to be with you. A prayerful heart. Then it was a sacrificial heart. If I perish, I perish. I'm willing to do even if I die. I'm willing to do God's will even if I die. If I perish, I perish. That's a great sacrifice this morning. I wonder how many of us are willing to make that kind of sacrifice. How many of us are willing today to say, Lord, if it takes my life, I'm still willing to serve you. If I perish, I perish. That's a real sacrifice. It takes a committed heart. Committed. If I perish, I perish. You see, this morning, she made a commitment to God. A full commitment. So many people don't want to make commitments anymore. They don't want to make the commitment of marriage. They don't want to make the commitment of parent. They don't want to make any kind of commitment. I talked to a person not long ago, and that's one of the things that, well, you know, I just don't want to get into that kind of commitment. And I said, well, you're driving a big truck. You pay cash for it. No, you made a commitment to the bank. We can make commitments to the bank and to Walmart and to credit cards, but can we make commitment to God? God, I'm going to commit myself to you 100%. I'm going to give myself to you 100%. Here am I. Send me. Usually we want to say, well, here am I, but why don't you send him? Why don't you send her? Here am I. Send me. And you see, Mordecai said something to Esther that we need to really understand. He said, Esther, if you don't do this, deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. You see, God's work is going to be done. God's will is going to be accomplished. God's purpose is going to be used today. And if you don't allow him to use you, then he'll find somebody else. And you're going to miss out on what God had for you to do. I don't want to miss out on what the Lord has for me. I don't want to miss out on what God can do for me. I don't want to miss out on being a part of God's work today. I want to be a part of God's work this morning. Just a small cog in the machine. You know, I'm just going to be kind of like the flea that was on the back of the elephant. It was crossing one of those swinging bridges, and boy, that thing was a swaying and a going, that elephant going across. And they got to the other side, and the flea said, boy, we shook that thing, didn't we, Big Mama? Huh. I'm just a little flea, but I want to be where God wants me to be today. Amen. And do what the Lord wants me to do. I want to be used for His purpose today. I want my life to mean something for God. May not mean anything outside this little area, but I want it to mean something for God. May not be a national known name, never be up in lights, but still be something for the Lord and serve Him for His purpose this morning. Wouldn't you like to be used of the Lord? God put you where He's got you right now for a purpose. You have to find that purpose. You have to find that what God wants you to do. And then be willing to say as Esther, if I perish, I perish. This morning, what will the Lord have you to do? What will the Lord ask of your life? What will the Lord ask you to do today? Are you willing to do what God asked you to do this morning?
Amen.
That's the question you must answer in your own life today. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Ruthie and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time we've been together. We ask You to use this message for the honor and glory of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. His precious holy name I pray. Amen.